So our next speaker is Meg Cartwright. Meg has spent most of her adult life in Alaska. She was lured from the big city lifestyle to make money on the pipeline in the mid-70s. Instead, she fell in love with the outer beauty of Alaska and started scheming ways to make a living outdoors. This brought her to the beginning of a 30-year career. She's now retired with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game as a fisheries biologist. The story she will tell tonight happened the third year as a fisheries technician on McDonald Lake, about 30 miles north of Ketchikan. Little did she know that it would turn out to be one of the most memorable experiences of her entire career. The title of her talk gives you a hint of what was to unfold. And the title is, let me put it this way, if Alfred Hitchcock was to film a sequel to his story, The Birds, on location in Southeast Alaska at McDonald Lake in the early 1980s, it would be Alfred Hitchcock's The Fish, the title of Meg's talk. Here she is.
So the story I'm going to tell you tonight is a real fish story. And in the 1970s, the salmon returns to Alaska were at a record low. So Fish and Game decided to spend millions of dollars, pumping millions of dollars into enhancement projects, salmon enhancement projects. The fisheries scientists decided that McDonald Lake could we could quadruple the number of fry living in the lake for 1 to 2 years before they go out to the ocean with a lake fertilization project. So, but the problem was they didn't know how many fish, adult fish, were coming back in this system. Nobody had studied this system. So they hired George and I to go out, build a weir, and figure out an accurate number of fish that were going into the lake. Now, for those of you who don't know what a weir is, it's a fence that they put across the stream to block fish temporarily from going upstream to the spawning grounds. Now, when a fish comes up behind the weir, they move along the weir trying to find a hole. And the personnel who are operating the weir will go out, open up a 2-foot section, stand over the hole, wait till the fish find it, and then they count the number of fish going through with a tally counter. So George and I had put the weir in by June 1st, and then we waited for the weir, for the fish, and then we waited, and we waited. Almost 2 months we waited for fish. We had about 50 fish through the weir on a daily basis. But then one day, when it had rained hard for 3 nights, the water started coming up in the stream, and we spent the rest of the day patching the top of the weir, adding more fence so the fish, as the water rise, wouldn't just jump over it. We didn't go in to have lunch until 4 o'clock. I ate quickly because I was kind of worried about that water. It was coming up a foot every 3 hours. And George said he'd be out in a minute. He wanted to listen to Paul Harvey the rest of the story. So I said, okay, fine. So I'm paddling out to the weir, and it's the first time I realize there is something that's changed a lot in the mere 20 minutes that I'd gone in for lunch. The whole fish trap was packed with fish. There was no water left in the trap. So I quickly parked the boat, went around to the other side. I froze. George! No answer. He was listening to Paul Harvey. I looked across the back of the weir, there were at least 30,000 or 40,000 fish that had come in that 20 minutes. Almost all of them sockeye. I could have walked across their backs. Now, the width of this weir was about the width of the Foodland parking lot, just to give you an idea of how many fish. And when I looked downstream, all I could see were fish all the way. And later we found out the fish were backed up all the way to salt water, a mile and a half down this stream. George! Still George, no George. So I got on the weir, I opened up that 2-foot section, and I started to count the weir, the fish through, and it was like, oh! So I necked down the opening to 3 inches. The fish were literally going through on top of each other. I had 6,000 fish through that weir in 10 minutes. George shows up, he starts to count, and I start going to add more fencing as the water is coming up. It's about 4 feet from what it was in the morning. And now it's George's turn. Meg! So I go over and I say, what? And he says, I think the fish are going to push this weir over. And I'm thinking, oh no, what are we gonna do? We aren't gonna get an accurate count. We can't count the number of species, but maybe we could reconstruct that. On the other hand, if they push the weir, we're done. We won't have any information. So I said, okay, George, we're gonna each open up about 4 feet, and we're just gonna count the number of fish. That's all we're gonna do. And it went like this, by hundreds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We counted until it was dark that night. We got up at 3 o'clock the next morning to continue to count. When I went by the water level gauge, I realized the water had peaked 6 feet overnight, sometime in the middle of the night, and was starting to go down. We got reinforcements at, people came in from Ketchikan on day 3. By the end of day 4, we had 80,000 sockeye through that weir. 130,000 sockeye were estimated at the end of the season when we took the weir out mid-September. The magnitude of this run had international significance. The U.S. and Canada were just sitting down to renegotiate a salmon treaty under the assumption that there were not more than 30,000 sockeye in any system in Southeast Alaska. So the negotiating team got our daily weir counts. Fish and Game decided to go ahead and fertilize this lake, and thinking that more fish on top of more fish is right, yeah? So they jacked up the number of salmon fry being produced in the lake, which jacked up the number of adults returning. Then they jacked up the commercial harvest and increased the limit of the personal use fishery. Everybody was happy in the land of plenty. That was until 20 years later, when the poor returns to McDonald Lake forced Fish and Game to list it as a stock of concern. And lastly, I know you thought this was a story about the fish, but it's really about the water. Remember when I told you it came up 6 feet overnight? If you want to know the rest of my story, come talk to me after.